One of the main responsibilities of the Federal Reserve is to keep inflation in check. But this year, that hasn't worked out so well.
The big story here in the U.S., another disappointing report on inflation.
Inflation has surged to levels we haven't seen in four decades.
Right now, groceries is very expensive for people that can't afford to buy groceries.
Inflation up 1.3% in June. Prices are up 9.1% over the past year.
Even when you eat now, the supper, you make sure you got for the next day, you got breakfast, because you don't know if you're going to reach lunch time.
Prices rose 8.5% in July compared to a year ago. This follows June's
inflation. Inflation in August was mostly unchanged, despite the Fed's actions to cool soaring prices.
No one can seem to put the brakes on inflation.
It's getting difficult for me and everybody else.
Since March, the Fed has been raising interest rates to try to slow down inflation without causing too much economic pain.
The Fed had thought that their interest rate increases in combination with other things happening in the economy would slow down job growth, and that hasn't really happened yet. So when that doesn't happen, that can lead policymakers to say, gee, maybe we need to hit this thing a little bit harder.
That's our colleague Nick Timmeros. And he says this week, the Fed will have another stab at getting inflation under control. And Fed leaders have indicated they won't hold back. Which raises the question, to slow inflation, could the Fed tip the economy into recession? Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Tuesday, September 20th. Coming up on the show, can the Fed tame inflation? And if so, at what cost?
This episode is brought to you by GlobalX ETFs. Looking to invest? Start your journey by exploring exchange-traded funds with GlobalX ETFs. Exchange-traded funds, or ETFs for short, create baskets of stocks, bonds, and other assets that you can buy in a single trade. GlobalX specializes in ETFs that track emerging trends, like the rise of artificial intelligence, as well as strategies aimed to generate income potential. Visit GlobalXETFs.com to discover how you can get started.
Okay, so let's go back to some basics here, because the Fed wants to tame inflation. Why? Tell us again what the Fed's job is.
Well, the Fed has two jobs. One is to maintain low and stable prices, which they have defined specifically with a 2% inflation target. And their other job is to sustain maximum, or sometimes it's called full employment, which means that everybody who is looking for a job should be able to find one as long as it doesn't add to higher inflation.
And what is the main tool that the Fed uses to achieve these goals?
They can raise interest rates to try to slow down the economy. They can cut interest rates to try to speed it up. You think about a car and the Fed is the driver. They are either pushing on the brake or they're pushing on the gas pedal. You know, interest rates are a blunt tool. And there are other things you hear about the Fed doing, but it's all in service of, you know, the same objectives. You're either speeding things up or you're slowing things down. The Fed right now is pushing down on the brake because they want to slow down the car, and the car is the economy.
How does slowing things down affect the Fed's two jobs of full employment and inflation around 2%?
If it's more expensive to borrow, if it's more expensive to go out and then take out a loan to build that new factory or expand to have more stores, you see interest rates going up. And a CFO is going to say, well, gee, maybe right now is not the time to do that. It's getting more expensive to do these things.
But last year, when inflation initially became a problem, the Fed and its chairman, Jerome Powell, said it wasn't their problem. They said prices were rising because of supply chain issues and effects from pandemic stimulus. They described this inflation as, quote, transitory, and they didn't raise interest rates.
That changed in November because the inflation numbers, after getting a little bit better the end of last summer, got a lot worse in the fall. And so that's when the Fed sort of junked the whole transitory thesis and said, okay, even if we expect that this is all still going to have a beginning, middle, and end, it's clearly not happening as soon as we thought.
So the Fed decided it was time to do something more about it.
Federal Reserve officials announced that they are prepared to fight inflation with a series of interest rate hikes.
Well, if you're getting tired of paying more than $4 a gallon for gas, you'll be happy to learn the Federal Reserve is working on a fix.
It's a departure from pandemic-era policies that have been in place since March 2020.
And it's aimed, right, at helping to stop the soaring prices.
But it was a balancing act because the Fed and Powell didn't want to hurt the job market.
Well, in March, he took the view the Fed could still achieve what's called a soft landing, where they can slow the growth rate in the economy enough to bring inflation down, but not so much that you tip the plane over and cause a recession.
And is a soft landing like Never Never Land?
Yeah, you could think of a soft landing as sort of a policy nirvana, right? Where you are able to sustain the employment goals you have while you also have price stability. And, you know, it's nirvana for central bankers to be able to pull off a soft landing.
In central banker nirvana, inflation would come back to 2% without a sharp downturn in the economy or a spike in unemployment. Nick spoke to Powell about soft landings this spring.
What's the difference between a soft landing and a softish landing? Because if the pilot tells me, don't worry, we're going to have a softish landing, I don't know, I start to wonder what he's talking about.
Well, so you fly around, you know, sometimes the landing is just perfect, right? And sometimes it's just a little bumpy. And so it's still a good landing. You don't even notice it, right? So, but what does it mean in this setting? So I guess I would say this. We have to get inflation down to 2%. It will be challenging to do that. We have to slow growth to do that. That's the idea.
Then, in late spring, inflation took a turn for the worse.
What ended up happening was you had, right before the June Fed meeting, a really unwelcome surprise in the inflation data. It was just much hotter than officials expected. And so Powell made the decision before the June Fed meeting to raise rates by 0.75 percentage point, which was a big surprise at the time. That is historically enormous for the Fed. Before this year, they had only done that once in 1994.
So they bring out the blunt instrument and raise rates by 0.75 point.
They raise rates by 0.75 point. Powell describes it as sort of an unusual thing, which a lot of people take to mean, you know, this isn't going to be standard operating procedure at the Fed. And yet, there was another bad inflation report before the Fed's July meeting, so they raised interest rates again by 0.75 point in July.
Powell thought he was sending a message that the Fed would keep raising rates until it was clear that inflation was under control. But the markets and investors took a different message. They were optimistic that Fed rate hikes would end much sooner.
So there was this view that the Fed was pivoting, and that actually led, you know, stock markets to rally. And on top of that, you had a lot of the economic data coming out saying, hey, this economy was not in a recession. We added 500,000 jobs in July. That isn't consistent with, you know, a slowdown in the economy.
Why was this a problem for Powell?
Well, if financial conditions are easing when you think that they need to stay tight, that's a problem.
It's like your brake doesn't work.
This is a process. Getting inflation out of the economy is a process. It's not something where you flip a switch and it's done tomorrow. And so this process is going to require borrowing costs to rise and to stay high and not to ease every time that people think the Fed chair might be signaling that, you know, mission accomplished.
But that mission wasn't accomplished. And Powell had to make that clear. That's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Charles Schwab. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. But what policy changes should investors be watching? Washington Wise is an original podcast for investors from Charles Schwab that unpacks the stories making news in Washington and how they may affect your finances and portfolio. Listen at schwab.com/WashingtonWise.
Every August, the Kansas City Fed hosts a meeting of economists and Fed officials. It's held in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
It's been there since 1982 when Paul Volcker was the Fed chair and the Kansas City Fed really wanted him to come to their conference. And someone said, hey, Paul Volcker is really into fly fishing. And if you have the conference somewhere where there's good fly fishing, maybe he'll come.
And what was the landscape like in 1982?
1982 was the last time that we had inflation as high as it is right now.
So there's a parallel here.
Definitely a parallel.
At that time, what had Volcker been doing with interest rates?
Well, Volcker had raised interest rates a lot. And Volcker had been watching the Fed for years. You know, inflation had been high really since 1970. He had seen the Fed raising interest rates, trying to march up the hill, and inflation wasn't coming down enough, and the Fed would back off. Each time that there was a risk that unemployment was going to go up to really high levels, there was a lot of political pressure to say, hey, we don't want to do that. We don't want to risk another depression. So the country had lived with years of high inflation.
As Fed chair, Volcker had a strategy of jacking up interest rates. They went as high as 20%. And that led to a deep recession and record unemployment. All of this was in service of bringing inflation down. Here's Volcker in 1981 explaining his policy.
The way you're going to get those interest rates down is by persisting in policies that will indeed continue to bring the inflation rate down. And at some point, this dam is going to break and the psychology is going to change.
The unemployment rate shot up to 10.8% in November of 1982, which was the highest level since the Great Depression. So it was really tough. You know, it was tough stuff. It was strong medicine. But that's what it took. And that's very much what the Fed right now wants to avoid.
So then last month, Powell heads off to the Jackson Hole conference. Does he have Volcker on his mind?
He has Volcker on his mind. Not because he's saying that necessarily we need, you know, 17 or 20% interest rates in order to bring inflation down. Volcker realized that you couldn't have this great economy with full employment if you didn't have price stability. And Volcker is known as the central banker who had high inflation and who got rid of it.
At this Jackson Hole meeting, Powell was the headliner. And he realized that in his speech, he needed to communicate his next moves bluntly. In fact, Nick says Powell felt the first draft of his speech didn't go far enough.
What he told a couple of people was that he had ripped up that speech, that he had decided at some point that it no longer made sense to give whatever speech he was going to give, and he did something different. He gave an 8-minute, very blunt, very direct, straightforward, concise message that really couldn't be misinterpreted.
While higher interest rates, slower growth, and softer labor market conditions will bring down inflation, they will also bring some pain to households and businesses. These are the unfortunate costs of reducing inflation.
That's not something you hear the Fed chair say every day. That's code for, you know, if we have to have a recession, we're not trying to cause a recession, but if we have to have a recession to get inflation down, then we'll do that because all you would be doing here would be you'd be trading off some short-term pain for even bigger hit down the road, which is what we saw in the early 1980s.
And was that message received?
The message was received. Markets went down a lot on the day of the speech. And, you know, the rally that you saw in the market over the summer, it's pretty well over. Treasury yields have been higher. That influences borrowing costs across the economy. Mortgage rates have now crossed 6% for the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. That is a direct implication of Powell's speech, getting interest rates back up above 6%. It's possible that wouldn't have happened if he hadn't given that speech.
This week, the Fed will meet again to announce another round of interest rate hikes. Nick says it's widely expected that the Fed will raise interest rates by another 0.75 point. And it's expected to keep raising rates through the end of the year to about 4%. What could that do to employment?
It could slow things down. And, you know, that's what the Fed wants to see happen. It seems more likely than it did just a few months ago that the Fed's going to raise interest rates a lot more than they had anticipated, and that could weaken the labor market more than had been anticipated.
As for that policy nirvana, the soft landing for our economy, Nick says only time will tell.
The ending of this story hasn't been written. There are still some people who think that we're going to achieve a soft landing, but a lot of people think that the pathway there, that the landing strip has gotten very, very narrow, because inflation has just stayed higher than economists had anticipated. It hasn't decelerated, and it looks like Powell is singularly focused on getting inflation down and not getting too concerned for now with what that does to the labor market.
That's all for today, Tuesday, September 20th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.